A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball. The performance rankings, you had to be there.
I've suddenly realised I should write a book, but I'm too lazy. Trying to whittle this thing down into five is just impossible.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
OTB GAA.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to another episode of the Football Pod. It's a Monday evening, it's December, it's gotten cold all of a sudden, lads. It's been freezing the last couple of days. James, Paddy, how are you both doing?
Very good, Tom.
Fabulous.
How are you?
I'm good. Just warmed up. I was in Croke Park earlier. Paddy, we didn't get a chance to chat at the launch of GAA Go's championship coverage.
It was a brilliant launch.
Said I'd leave it to later.
It was a brilliant launch, obviously. Great product, as we all know. Which are lucky of an exclusive here now for an hour.
Yeah, but, exactly.
It was a long morning. It was a couple of hours in there this morning. So, good catching up with it, lads.
We were just talking about the merits of a good headshot earlier, and if anyone's looking at Paddy's Instagram, they'll see that sultry look when he's staring down the camera. Yeah. James, he's good at it, isn't he?
Great content.
It was a nice photo, not to be fair. Fierce.
You need something to work with. It's serious about the coin. They just trimmed that down. Like, buddy, Photoshop the shit out of that.
There's a few filters on
it. Oh, big time. So that's what you're paying them for. That's the gig. A professional 100%. Photographer.
But no, nice to be in Croke Park, Tom.
It is nice.
You could have been there with the club if things went a bit better.
Oh man, mistakes, aren't they? Is that right, Tommy?
I've never said that. Never once said that.
It was looking well though, wasn't it? I was absolutely fucking.
It's always looking well.
Baltic in there today, though. So we're down the pitch side for an hour or two. But there's no more games there for the rest of the year. The club finals on Saturday. Their Leinster football and hurling finals were the last games, I think. Are in Croker until...
There's surely no concert or something on, is there?
The All-Ireland Club semi-finals will be there in the second week of January. No, I don't think there's anything between now and the club semi-finals in January. Tommy, you're looking at me there.
Girls allowed, no?
Girls allowed? No, next summer. Coldplay.
It is a frighteningly cold stadium.
Yeah. Yeah, at the best of times.
Whatever it is about the
whole. You could be there in June and July and you could freeze your hole off. Never mind. Second week, first week of December.
Even in the middle of summer, yeah. No, I just was looking up fixtures. I can't find them. I have a feeling there could be other fixtures on before Christmas. The women's and Camogie final's not on before Christmas. I think they could be. I know Nafina of Mead, there was that big story last week. They had to play their Camogie semi-final and their women's football semi-finals the same weekend, a Saturday and a Sunday. Have you ever had to play two games in 2 days?
Sigerson.
No.
Sigerson. What'd you make of that?
Sigerson.
It was mad, because you were only, 22, and you were still wrecked. So they've cancelled that, haven't they? That doesn't happen anymore in Sigerson. It used to be the weekend to play.
The weekend,
Friday and Saturday, and then you go on the piss for about 4 days after as well. So, it was a tough week. But... No, that was the only time. It has happened in club championship before, though. On the men's side as well, hasn't it?
Oh, it has.
County championships are dragged out and they have to play the first round of the provincial championship the following day or something. It's definitely come across a couple of times before.
Carrafin played Ballina. Carrafin were All-Ireland champions back in 1998 and they drew Ballina after winning Galway in the first round of Connacht. And the Galway Championship had been delayed significantly because of Carfin's run.
No, it was because Galway won the All Ireland in '98, was it?
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly it. You're 100%
Carfin
right.
Carfin bet Erin Doyle in the final.
In the final.
Charlie Redmond. So, but yep.
The following club campaign, they win Galway again and they meet Ballina. So there was a provision put in place that if there's a draw in the first game on the Saturday, Carfin would stay the night in Ballina and they'd play the replay on the Sunday. So there was war about this after.
Why not just go?
They have to do it.
Do they go extra time and then replay? Or do they just go straight to a replay?
Schedules, isn't it?
They went
25 years.
They should have gone sudden death, extra time. That would have been the bee's knees.
Penalties.
No, there was no penalties. But imagine sudden death, extra time, next score wins.
Anyways.
That would be. And I guarantee you on next score wins and extra time, the next attack could win.
I think you're right.
Someone will do it.
Because when teams actually have to score, they score. It's when they flute around with it.
You have a beer in your bonnet, Jimmy, ahead of the Ulster Club final this weekend. Look at him.
I'm going to watch the last 5 minutes of that game. And it is going to be worth it.
Tune in. 58 minutes.
There'll be a point in it.
There will be. Yeah.
Either way, on 58 minutes. That's my prediction.
Before we get into that, though, that was some launch today, that way, wasn't it?
Paddy, it was. There's a full podcast out on Off the Ball right now in the OTB GA feed for anyone who wants to listen to me talking to Michael Murphy, Mark O'Shea, Owen Cadigan, Bubbles O'Dwyer, Richie Hogan, Aaron Kernan, all the key pundits for GA Go. I saved you for the season.
Well, sure, look, there's no point double jobbing there, is there?
No, not exactly. No.
So and do you have to pretend to know about hurling as well now at the new
game? No, yeah. I wash my hands of the hurling. Like, no, definitely not.
Tommy does, though. No, Tommy.
Pretends it all. Yeah. Liverpool go for that again this year. They will. Geoga was looking at me with two fucking heads.
I was tempted to start playing a bit of hurling in Cratlow. I think I might wait for another year or two until I'm definitely fully dropped by Colin Collins. Yeah. Then I might pick up the junior C. I think I might try and give myself another chance to play again next year. Yeah,
a couple more black cards, Tom?
A few more, yeah. It'd be no harm, yeah. You interrupted me when I was in the middle of telling you that historical story about Ballina and Carfin back in 98. The game ended a draw the first day. Ballina win by two. Two afterwards. Anyways, that was it. Nafina won their camogie at the weekend. They lost the football on Sunday. So
was that the turnover goal?
No, that wasn't. No. That wasn't. That was in the junior, I believe. That was remarkable, wasn't it?
Oh, so tough. They kept going backwards and backwards and backwards, and eventually there was nowhere left to go. Went back to the keeper, she was turned over, back in the net.
Surely you've been a part of teams that have done things like that in the middle of matches, not getting caught for it, but have gone backwards and backwards and backwards and look like they're going to get caught, right?
My philosophy on that is, if you're going to hold the ball, you hold it as high up the field as you can. And then if you have to go back, you can go back. But you got to go forward, because that's where your better players are anyway, probably from the middle up. Once you start going back to full back line in the goalkeeper positions, even the crowd gets jittery.
But you know, isn't there a thing like, if you're really under pressure, just launch it out of play into the stand.
Kilmacud did that. Do you remember the Kilmacud goalie? No, he did launch it. He launched
it
straight
into the worst place. Into the middle of the pitch. If he just boots that into the stand, it's a set play. You have time to get everyone set. But if you, because everyone's out of position, you launch it into the middle of the pitch, it's literally the worst place you can turn it over. But no, I agree.
Holding the ball, though, it's so dangerous.
Hold the ball a lot. You need to be very, very comfortable at doing it. But we would have done it a lot, and we'd always hit that in your own half. Try and get it out of there as far up the pitch as you can. Because, it's just, you're even watching it. Even as a neutral, you're looking going, oh, this could go horribly wrong. Like, so, anyway.
Because when you're going back, you're being chased by the other team. So eventually when it does go back to the goalie, they're looking out at about 8 opposition players just running straight at her in that situation. And she was always going to be turned
But all the opponents, Jimmy, as well, are getting desperate, aren't they? Like, they're lunging in for tackles, and all it needs is just one of them to go right and they'll turn you over. Like you might be able to sidestep one of them, but they've 15 people pressed up on you as well. Someone's going to get contact on you, and it's...
referee is giving you absolutely nothing.
The ref is against you there. He doesn't want to...
He just puts the whistle in the pocket.
Yeah, he's waiting for some goals.
Do what you like.
Yeah.
The value, like, but Paddy, I'm sure it was the same for you boys. You probably had three or four key players there. I'm sure there's a lot of you that could do it, but you probably had three or four key players who you really wanted on the ball.
Yeah, same as Jimmy was saying, it's the same as any team. There's guys who are more comfortable on the ball, even at senior inter-county level, that you want, and there's guys that are not as comfortable on the ball. It's from under 14 teams the whole way up to senior inter-county teams. There's guys who are more comfortable soloing the ball and keeping it. We were no different as well. You know, it looks like Scully or Kilkenny at these guys who were key to being on it. And then the other lads, if they get it, and you're like, oh, this could go wrong. And it's, we were lucky. I don't think we ever had it. We definitely thought we were keeping the ball. We'd won against Donegal in 2016, the quarterfinal. Keno Sullivan skews a kick pass.
Yes. Did a goal come from that?
Yeah. Roy McHugh scores a goal. We won the game anyway, thank God, but that brought Donegal right back in. But we were keeping the ball, and Keno just he was trying to kick pass and just sliced it off the outside of his boot again, like the Kilmacud, right to the middle of the pitch to Roy McHugh.
I can picture it.
And every one of us, he was like on his own 45, and we were like, oh fuck, he's trying to do, and sure enough, they go up the pitch of all the teams to do it against, and they got a goal. And it's one of the only ones I can think where we kind of got caught doing it. I think we're generally all right.
It was Ballinamore Sean O'Heslins who won at the weekend. They were 2 points down against Steelstown of Derry in that women's intermediate All-Ireland semi-final. And I suppose the pressure from the forwards was huge, but Steelstown just kept going back and back and back and just got caught, and just nightmare stuff. Those finals, Paddy, Aaron Croker. That's why I was glaring at you earlier. Sorry for the dirty looks I was giving you. No, they're the 16th, 17th, 99% sure. So this weekend, we're obviously down to the last six in the senior All-Ireland Club Football Championships. We witnessed two pretty good games, I would say, in their own rights. We had Nace putting it up to Kilmacud Crokes in the first half. Kilmacud Crokes pulling away in the second half.
That wasn't a great second half. I thought that was a really, really good quality first half as well for both teams. Second half, it was just very cagey, wasn't it? I thought Nace were probably the better team in the second half of that. Just couldn't get it, couldn't score.
They had their chances, didn't they?
They had chances. They'd be kicking themselves. It was a classic Crokes performance again, wasn't it? Just like, they ended up winning by
just
seven.
Enough.
And it's like you're thinking, they're not really doing anything here. Struggling for scores in the second half, yes. I never really thought they were going to lose it.
They were never in trouble.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And it's like, Nace, to be fair, credit to them. Second half, they worked hard. Jesus Christ, the intensity. They pushed up all over the pitch. And they, like I said, they had opportunities to win. But it's third time in a row. They've come short against Crokes.
Yeah.
Lovely. I know it was a great finish. Shane Walsh's goal.
Beautiful.
It was a beautiful, beautiful goal. He was back to his best there, which was massive for Crokes. But a really good first half. Second half, I thought quality-wise, both teams are working really hard, but I thought quality-wise, second half, it definitely dropped off a bit.
I thought Alex Byrne was just exceptional in that first half for Nace, the wing forward, number 10. He kicked 4 points. Kevin Feely in commentary.
He was brilliant in the first half.
Shut him down in the second half? Because Kevin Feely described him as unmarkable in that first half.
No, I still think he got on the ball in the second half. He just wasn't clinical enough. I thought it was kind of mirrored Nace. It was Nace's day in a nutshell. You know, I agree. I tell you, he's probably the best player on the pitch in the first half. Andy McGowan was marking him. He was causing Andy McGowan all sorts of trouble. I thought it was a great battle with Derek Kerwin and Theo Clancy.
Agreed.
Yeah, that was the one.
I think Dublin are going to be looking at this young flat. He was with the 20s. He's still only a young guy, and there's definitely times Kerwin probably got the better of him, but just the way he plays, he's a really abrasive full back. He's strong, he's athletic, he's tight. Like I say, he's learned a bit of patience, I suppose, a bit of finesse with his tackling, but he's only a kid, you know, he's going to develop that. But there are, you know, some of the same club shades, like a young Rory O'Carroll there, who was really all in, just a handful to mark, and he had a really good battle with Derek Kerwin.
There's something in Kerwin as well. I think he's a serious player.
He's an erratic shooter.
I disagree. I don't think he's erratic in terms of shot selection. I agree, but not in terms of shot selection. Every shot he takes is on.
But
his striking can be off at times. Yeah. He tops it and he drops it short, or he might top it and drag it wide.
At stages this year, Jimmy, he gets great positions. He's strong. He's fast. He's direct. Like, he could go, there could be days where he scores 8 or 9 points.
Yeah.
And there could be days where he scores 2.
How do you fix that, James?
Practice, man. I'm sure he is, but
I mean, he's obviously a natural kicker. It's probably a bit of composure that you just snap at them every so often, because the way he misses them is always the same, I think. He just top spins the ball a little bit and he doesn't catch it, because he's a lovely sweet kick when he hooks it nicely. But I think he's a nice shade of greedy. He's on the right side of greedy. Where
spoken like a true corner forward, Jimmy.
He's not looking to pass the buck. He doesn't want to dish it to a fella to tap it over. He knows that he's the best kicker and he can take it on. And he did miss, you're right, Paddy, he misses chances. He missed a lot with Kildare as well.
He did.
The Kildare forwards have that in them. They can hit, if they hit the first one or two, they all go over. If they miss one or two, they
similar
might
Highland, put a few wide. He's a lot of very good attributes, Kerwin. I've seen him a good few.
He's natural.
Underage with Kildare and then obviously with the senior team as well. And it's, if he was just, I suppose you could say he's been any forward, if he was just a bit more clinical, he could be right up. I think he could be Kildare's main man. He could be one of the top forwards in the country. And I think
Saturday, what age is he?
Young,
is
23.
And that's it. He's
23.
We've seen a lot of him. You know, he's in a really good club team. He's going to be a key player for Kildare as well.
Why was he wearing 20? Was it? He was carrying a knock on him, was he?
No, I think
he's been wearing 20 most of the club championships. So maybe he didn't start a game, or maybe they brought him in late.
But again, late, like, it was similar though. Again, could be at least they had opportunities and they. I thought out of the three, they played Croke 3 times and I've lost all 3. I thought Saturday was the closest and the best opportunity for it to win the game. They'd be disappointed not to get over the line. But
there's so many men to mark against Limacud. Like, if you keep one quiet, there's 3 causing damage. If you keep two quiet, but even up front, they score from everywhere.
Yeah.
When they want to turn it on, I think they can.
Played with Offaly, a good game. Walsh was obviously very good. Mannion was good, but not probably the way you'd associate with Mannion in terms of shooting the lights out. But you could see then in an All-Ireland semi-final, it could be Mannion who scores 5 or 6 points. Like, it was Mannion the week before in the semi-final. This week it was Shane Walsh. And that's, like we said it a couple of weeks ago, we're talking about winning the All-Ireland. What teams are going to have? Like, there's no team that has 2 lads like Mannion and Walsh. You know, okay, Jack McCarron, Conor McCarthy, Scotstown, Carl Finn, who were surprisingly, they were well beaten. Ben O'Carroll was exceptional for Bridget's in their win. But, you know, if Crokes get hot, if those two boys get hot together, there's no club team that's going to stop them, you know. So,
even, do you know, when one of them goes quiet, it's nearly a good thing for them, because the opposition forgets about them in a way, like, because whoever's on fire is going to get all the attention for a span of it. And then if they can just maintain it for a while, then the other fella comes into it, then switch it back. Like, they're never both on it together.
Yeah, I haven't seen
them
really, both of them at the same time since Shane Watson has been at the club. But the one thing they do, and you can see this with all the teams that have been successful, Bridget's were the same the other day, Glenn and Scotstown in the north as well, they work exceptionally hard. You know, and it's forwards, tackling, tracking back, shutting down runners. It's no secret to success. Best teams have it. And I thought Crokes, even though, like I say, Mandy might have been at his best, or Shane Walsh even, who's probably maybe not as known for it. There was times in that first half he's back at blocks, turning guys over. So it gives you a hell of a chance if your forward line are doing that as well. But for Crokes, like I say, it wasn't their, by any means, their best performance, but they end up winning the game by 6 or 7 points, you know. So
for sure. And for Nace, like, it probably doesn't reflect how close they got this time. They've been further away the previous 2 times. Interesting to hear you mention that about Theo Clancy, because he's impressed me whenever I've seen him as well, Paddy. But Kerwin and Byrne, for me, lads, they kind of represent the potential that always seems to exist in Kildare. Yeah. And like, just see how good they are. And there's plenty of footballers like that in Nason. We've seen plenty of them over the years. Like, if Kildare can click, and it's like, it's one of these teams that on paper, they always look like they have the raw materials to make something happen. A little bit like, actually, Michael Murphy told me today. Yeah, he put it today that they were fifth or sixth in Ulster going into this year's Ulster. It's hard to disagree with that. Like, but I said to Michael, on paper, you wouldn't back against them.
They've Tyrone,
James, just we were chatting there. Yeah, Donegal, Tyrone, Derry, the same side. Just we were chatting there, we were just in terms of how Nace lost that game. How would you rather lose a match?
Wow.
Would you rather lose a match, like, absolutely, like, trying your very best and just falling short? Or would you rather just have a complete off day and, you know, it's just, you write it off afterwards? Like, so, like, Nace, obviously, were in the mix. They did far better than they've done previously against Crokes. Or you've got Cara Finn, who were utterly flat and devoid of any energy that they've illustrated over the last couple of weeks, and we'll probably look back on that as being a real regret of theirs, you know?
In terms of how you prefer to lose,
personally, like, I'm asking you, how would you like to lose?
Would you rather be buried alive, burned alive? I would say,
answer the question,
definitely, without a doubt, you'd rather play your best and be beaten by a better team. No regrets, no lying in bed going, why didn't I, or what was wrong, or why were the legs heavy? That's a way worse place to be mentally, I think. Yeah. You'd rather go out and play well. You perform as a team. It just wasn't your time. Yeah. I mean, that's easier to live with. They're both horrible, because that is actually admitting you're not good enough, which is probably horrible as well. But at least you can close your eyes that night.
At least you tried.
Yeah.
Not that. That the Cara Finn didn't try, but it just didn't happen for Cara Finn, lads, at the weekend. And, like, sometimes that can happen to a team where you're looking out and it just looks flat, and they just need something to kick into gear to spark them to life. And
I thought Bridges were exceptional, though. I'll hold my hands up here. I expect the Cara Finn to win that game. First club prediction I've got wrong so far this year, and I got it well wrong because Bridget's got full value for it.
I won't go checking.
We've only done three.
I won't go checking the stats.
And the other two were bang on.
Crooks. Typical Crooks.
Yeah, I fucking was. Do you know what the Bridget's performance said? I was saying to you today, Tommy. It reminded me of the Rossies kind of ambushing Mayo in the Connacht Championship, where they did a brilliant game plan executed to an absolute T. Cara Finn weren't great, but the amount of times Bridget's just were in their face, they outworked them, outsmarted them, turned them over. You could see Cara Finn getting frustrated, struggling to get scores at all. Gary Sice has a bit of an off day. Michael Lundy's yellow card in the first half, where he kind of lashes out. That was just a team who were so frustrated at how things were going. But on the other side, you know, I'm a massive fan of Ben O'Carroll.
I know.
I thought he was exceptional for the Rossies this year as a target man, probably the smallest target man in GAA, but he's so effective, so sharp. Bridget's played to his strengths, but we said for him to go to the next level, it is about being really clinical then. And I thought on Sunday he was. He had the chances and he nailed
it. He was lucky with his first shot. Obviously, it dropped about 20 yards short and bounced over the bar. And then his second shot dropped 20 yards short and didn't bounce over the bar. And then he gets a free in front of the post. Yeah. And then he gets a penalty. And suddenly, he's the only scorer in the game with 1-2. That is a brilliant way to start a game of football.
But isn't it like birdie power for the first point? The ball bouncing over the bar is not great now. But for Cara Finn, Jimmy, we've probably all played in games like this. Your favourites going in. You get off to a slow start, and before you know it, your opponents, they're in your face. They're all over you. And you turn the ball over again, and it just gives them a lift. And you start getting more frustrated. And then you start losing a bit of discipline. And they gave away, I thought maybe some of the frees were maybe a little bit soft, but they were given. And it's another handy score for Bridget's to push the lead out again and again. And then before Carrefour know it, they're 4 or 5 points down. And they're frustrated all over the pitch. And Bridget's are like, they're on a roll. Like Brian Stack, exceptional. Eddie Long,
so good.
Like the core of the Bridget's team, they just got more and more energy with every play. And that can happen to you in a game where it just snowballs. The momentum, and it's so hard to get it back. And you just seen, kind of 20 minutes in there, you could see, he's kind of feeling under pressure here. You know, this game is starting to get away from them. They get the goal before halftime, Silk's goal, and you think, okay, that's the lifeline. They're still 4 points down at halftime. Do you think, they're going to come out hot in the second half. And they do. They're on top for the first 10 minutes of the second half, but they just don't convert chances.
Crucially, exactly. Crucially, they kick three wides. They have a goal chance saved. They're two goals. They're two chances. They're two scores, excuse me. A goal in injury time. They're 1-7 to 2 points down. They get a goal. Yeah. They get the next
brilliant
score in the second half.
Gets the turnover, gets up the pitch, and then gets the goal.
What a footballer, that's.
Yeah, but isn't that like the type of thing you go, okay, they're back in it now. good shot at half time and come out and blitz it at the start of the second half. And to an extent they did, but they just didn't finish.
But the second that second goal goes in from Dylan McHugh, and that was a real leader's goal, that one. It was a great goal. Second that goes in, Bridget's come to life. And that man, Ben O'Carroll, scores 2 points. And then after that, Brian Stack breaks up the field and kicks a point. And they get another point from a turnover from a kick out. And suddenly, that kind of power and that enthusiasm and that pace.
The race was rolling at that point.
They were just so much better. But like, yeah, it was just one of those games. And I'd seen Cara Finn over the last couple of weeks. And looking at their bench the other day, I was like, look at the depth here. Kieran Malloy on the bench. Five-time All-Star Dahi Burke on the bench, multiple All-Ireland winners in Ronan Steed and a couple of other key footballers that are serious options to bring off the bench, the Farrers as well, Tony Gill, who scored the goal in the county final.
They've no complaints, tell me, from that at the weekend. They were brilliant.
They couldn't have complaints.
Full value for that victory. It was a brilliant, brilliant team performance.
So Ben O'Carroll is man of the match, and he scores 1-7, a point shy of Shane Walsh's total at the weekend. He couldn't deny him it. But for me, lads, watching on, the fellow who epitomised the Bridges performance and is the leader there is the Roscommon captain, Brian Stack. He's full back. He was in the corner of the hide 3 weeks ago after getting what looked like a very bad knee injury. He had a hyperextension of the knee. He made it back for the semi-final, came on the last couple of minutes when they were under pressure against Mohill. He started at the weekend. Nobody has got the better of Brian Stack all this year. I think his direct opponents have scored a point from playing him at most, maybe two, for Roscommon and Bridget's all year long. There's just...
What?
Yeah.
For Roscommon as well?
And Bridget's all-star nominee. He's absolutely off the charts all this year. Yeah.
That is ridiculous. Reckless stat.
Yeah. That's... I haven't fully verified that stat, but it is something like that. It's very, very close to that, if it's not true.
He was brilliant the other day, though. But that spine of Bridget's team, like he was exceptional. And O'Carroll up front as well was very clinical. That was the key to our victory.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. In terms of those kind of man markers, and like Brian Stack kicks that point in the second half, and I would have a kind of conversations with a couple of people in Roscommon yesterday. They feel like Brian Stack could offer so much more value a little further forward, but he's just so valuable back as a full back that, you know, they'd see him as a natural midfielder in the years to come. Still quite a young man, 25, 26. Those man markers, lads, you know, the ones that just always seem to get a better of you. I don't want to hear about your Tom O'Sullivan's and your Mark O'Shea's or your Mick Fitzsimons in Dublin training, because whenever you boys get asked who is the toughest marker, you always turn to your own teammates.
Yes,
I want to hear, talk to me. Come on, don't give me the stock answer. Talk to me about some of those markers that begrudgingly always got the better of you.
But you know, the first thing about the markers, right? They are so valuable.
Yeah.
They're similar to having that scoring corner forward who's going to put the scores on the board. The fella marking the marquee forward on the other end is so crucial because it allows you to play a completely different way. If you don't have those markers, you have to get bodies back.
Yeah.
You have to get everyone defending, blocking space, because you don't trust your full back line to actually get out and get the fist in when the ball comes in. So like, they're completely undervalued and underappreciated. And if I could build a team, I'd hope that one of my two best players was a cornerback, that every day he goes out will quieten the opposition best forward.
Such a specialist position.
So important.
If you trust your full back line, that
you can push right up
to play, be far more aggressive. Lads, come up there. Yeah. We'll deal with this. Some of the great, like Anthony Lynch from Cork, one of them, unbelievable. Obviously, Mark O'Shea as well was huge for Kerry. Allows the team to play. We had Fitzy, we had Philly McMahon, Johnny Cooper at different stages as well. The rest of the team just takes confidence from it. It's like he'll deal with him no matter who it is. Because naturally, when you get to the later stages of the championship, all the top teams have two or three guys that need serious watching. And if you don't have the guys, if you don't trust them, then you've got to say, well, we'll sacrifice our half forward line, they all come back.
Yeah.
It's just a totally different way of playing.
It gives you some confidence. Yeah.
Oh, Jack O'Connor used to have a tactic, right, where you weren't allowed to go back further than a line. So say a midfielder couldn't go back past the half back line, or the half forward line couldn't go back past the midfielders or go past the half back line.
That's back in the 80s, huh?
That was in 2010.
Wow.
Because he knew that his full back line was so good that they needed to put the heat on outside and just take the risk. Like, you, there's not many teams doing it now because the quality full back line players, you probably might have one at a time. But Jack had probably three of them at the time to defend. But you can play such an attacking game if you have them.
We used to run training games where you couldn't leave your line. Like, it was great for the forward because like you didn't have to go back into your own half.
So
it was like,
and what did that mean for the quality of the game?
It just forced man to man all over the pitch.
Yeah.
So like, and we do 20 minutes, and I tell you, the intensity.
That is unreal. I would love that. Yeah,
I just think, we did it maybe for playing you guys, Jimmy, or for playing Mayo. If we were going to be playing a team that was going man to man, we used to kind of filter training matches and go, we're going to play 20 minutes, six forwards, you're not allowed to go back into your own half. Midfielders, you're not allowed to go up and back. You just have to stay between the 45s. And it was just man to man battles all over the pitch. And the ball was just coming. And it's just like,
it was just constant kicking.
It's just a normal match.
But you've so many options. Yeah.
But like,
you've so many options on the ball.
You have to either beat your man or you just kick pass. That was it. And in bits.
Unreal.
It was just flat to the mat. Man on man. It was great. For forwards, it was great. Yeah.
We've just fixed football. That's football fixed. Forget about your blankets. There you go. If you're cornerback, you're not getting up there. If you're midfield, no more tracking.
Defenders hate it because they had to defend, and then forwards loved it because man on man, you couldn't go.
You used to be back playing into county if that was the case.
No, I'd be totally, because it needed to be fast. It was man on man. But I remember, there were certain games where we'd do that type of training.
That is the best training you can do as well. Yeah. Like those type of games, or 13-a-side games where it's so open that you have to, you just artificially make one-on-one situations like that.
But it didn't suit some players at all. Because generally lads drop out and get on a handy ball and all, I'll go in here and drop around midfield and all that stuff. You're fucked.
Anyone who follows the ball, forget it. You have to be two steps ahead.
You have to be predicting.
Yeah, you have to be predicting where the ball is going to go, and then you have to put on the afterburners.
But there was no handy hand passes. Right? It was nearly everything was going to be a kick pass. You're racing out to the ball, and again, that doesn't suit everyone.
But that is still how I judge a player up front. How many kick passes did you receive in the game? Because anyone going around getting handy hand passes, looping, you're not a true forward if you're doing that.
That's why I have such time for Ben O'Carroll. Because he's the key role. He plays it for Ross Common. He played it for Bridget at the weekend. I agree. I was fond of the old loop point myself, Jimmy. I'm not going to lie. But
I know you were always the first man out for the foot pass.
Yeah, but I like the loop because it's just easier. You get a score.
Well, obviously that's still probably the handiest way to get a point. But I mean, a fella who can win the ball from a kick pass out in front, that has the intelligence to time the run, has the hands to catch it.
Yeah.
Has maybe the push off, the drop, the step. There's so much in it. I think it's an underappreciated skill. Yeah,
you're racing someone. Well, there's a man up your hole, and you've got to go. Like, that was my role for a couple of years with Dublin. It was just, you have to be the link, and you're naturally, you're probably not going to score as much because you're going out there to allow for a quick transition, and then the guys inside are behind you, and that's why you have a soft spot for O'Carroll, because I see him doing it so well.
Andy Moran was brilliant at it. Yeah.
But Andy Moran was very smart at it as well. And the way Mayo played, he didn't have to go out too... He was allowed to stay inside. He wouldn't have got the ball 50 yards from goal. He was always... No. He was really smart running, but it was lateral moves. And he was getting kick passes inside the 21. Like that year,
he was getting it on the way to goal.
But that's... Yeah. When he wins player of the year in 2017, he was exceptional. But he got so many kick passes because he had a brilliant partnership with Killian O'Connor. But
they had screening down to a
training, but if you all the kick passes he's getting in scoring positions. My thing with Dublin was I was going out the pitch to get it because it would create space for them behind. Whereas Andy was just probably a little bit smarter, and just the way Mayo played to his strengths as well. But if you have someone like that inside, we're talking about ball winners, you know, people think it must be something like Bomber Liston or something. You don't have to be like that. It's been a really smart... Ian Burke was like it with Galway. Really effective player at doing it as well.
You don't have to be outrageously quick. Like,
you need to be smart.
Andy was... Yeah, it was his timing.
Yeah.
Do James, are you training for the O'Donoghue Cup?
Is he what?
Yeah, but we're not finished yet.
Oh,
we're still in there.
The great fuss I didn't
we won the weekend.
No?
Yeah, I didn't see the Cara Finn game, that's why it went so quiet there when you're talking.
Yeah,
about
10 minutes late in Cara Finn, you didn't watch the fucking thing.
I didn't. I saw the highlights.
You were playing Fossa the 2 weeks after they lost the intermediate final to Milltown Castlemaine. Did you shoot the lights out?
No. Point only.
Oh, not like it.
Yeah, I fought four wides. I fought one from five.
20%.
20%, yeah.
Man.
And it was not a bad day either. It was like calm and dry.
Very honest from you, Jimmy, there. You could have had gale force winds, hurricane.
Because you're Hamas O'Donoghue 2014 Footballer of the Year, the lads just keep shooting. Keep shooting, James. Don't worry about it. Or are they like, what is wrong with you?
Pull the trigger.
A bit of both. Okay. Cop on, but keep at it. we kick 16. Well, we went 16-11, so we definitely should have had 120, 121. Ooh, it would have been decent scoring, but
who did
we didn't
damage when you weren't stepping up?
We've like called Finbar Murphy. He got 8 points.
Ooh. Impressive. And
so, yeah, the boys came on. David and Paddy came on with about 20 minutes to go. With 25 minutes to go.
Jesus.
And it's a massive competition, as you don't understand. You see, this is true GA. Nah. This is just passion. No lights. No. No nonsense, no glory outside of your town. It's just pure passion.
Can you pay cash on the gate or is it just card?
Clubber.
It's a subscription.
Okay. I must make it down to the O'Donoghue Cup final. So is it going to be before Christmas?
Week before Christmas, isn't it?
So at semi-finals, we've Kilcommon on Sunday in Fitzgerald Stadium. Crokes and Spa, Fitzgerald Stadium on Saturday.
To be fair, I would love to still be playing football. I think plenty of people would, instead of be doing grueling pre-season gym bloody.
Well, it does depend on your club facilities. Because we have, in fairness, we did up our pitch. Savage lights, unbelievable surface. It's a joy going training. Whereas a couple of years ago, we didn't have it. It was dark, depressing, no lights, boggy field. Then you're like, take me to March. I don't want to be here. Like,
yeah.
Well, so that is a help.
O'Donoghue Cup aside, we've got the Ulster Club Final this weekend and the Munster Club Final. We've got Dingle and Castlehaven at 2 o'clock on Sunday, and we've got Glen against Scotstown at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Paddy, I would just give you a word of advice when you're making your predictions this time. Maybe just play politics a little bit instead of just going, no chance.
No.
No chance.
No.
Okay, Glen, Scotstown, Paddy.
Scotstown.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
How come?
I think they've better scoring power than Glen. There's a bit of chemical croaks in Glen, isn't there? That they're really, they don't give you anything. They're experienced. But I just think Scotstown have enough to win this game on Sunday. Even though they weren't great themselves in their own semi-final, they obviously got out of jail against Trillick. But I like the look of Scotstown. I've seen them a couple of times. I think the big players are going to stand up for them. I think they're going to do it.
James, before I give you the final word in this game, I think Glen are coming for Chemical Croaks, and I think they're going to get the job done. I really like the Scotstown team.
Scotstown first, Tommy. There's no point in talking about anyone else.
Quality across. I just think we're going to get that narrative after Christmas. So I wouldn't be disappointed.
It would be brilliant to see as well. But
I wouldn't be disappointed if Scotstown win. There's some cracking footballers in that team, and a Scotstown Chemical Croaks semi-final would be a cracker too. James, what way do you see that one going?
I don't know. What I do know though is it is going to be. I think 9-9, and the winner will come in the 62nd minute. And I don't know who it's going to be, but I'm going to say Glen.
Okay,
that is, I guess.
Okay, that's
you
fair.
Can't realistically have that much. It's impossible to call that game.
Both games are very hard to call.
Dingle, Castlehaven.
I think Dingle would have. Tommy, I know you hate Castlehaven.
I'm going to have to give Castlehaven a good chance here now.
What did Dingle do to you?
They came through the might of Cratlow.
What did Dingle do to you?
They bet Rack Ormoc. Dingle are representing Kerry just by virtue of
winning the club championship.
And being a great town as well.
What do you have to win to qualify?
Where would I rather go for a weekend? That's what I'm going to go with Dingle on this one. That's so
the best way to call it.
What's the fish place down in Dingle? The fish box, is it? On the right of the pier there.
The fish box.
There's a, it's called that, yeah. It's like a real.
I think it is, actually.
Yeah, and it's top of the pops.
It is the fish box. Yeah, you're right.
That will also be low scoring game. I reckon
13-12.
I fancy Dingle. I think Dingle win it.
Okay.
Very close.
There'll be a bit of crack at Dingle if they won that, wouldn't there?
There would.
Will Mark O'Connor be home?
No.
That's the key.
It's not.
I don't think that's
that could swing that.
That would be, it would be a huge bonus for Dingle, but
I don't think it's the key. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If that, yeah.
Fair enough.
That's a very long shot key. Like, get a fella out of his professional contract for a weekend.
It's a hard sell. Fly all halfway across the world. Yeah.
That's fair.
Big ask.
That's fair.
So Tommy, you think Glenn and Castlehaven?
I don't know. I'd give both Dingle and Castlehaven a right shot at that. I don't think there's much between either team, really.
I'd give them both a chance. It's like fucking 50-50.
Could also be a draw.
Oh, well, don't rule out a draw.
Winner on the day.
Right, Scottsdale Dingle for me.
Gaelic grounds as well, the Dingle game is on.
I like that pitch.
Yeah, lovely pitch.
Yeah.
Glenn Dingle for me.
Glenn Dingle as well.
Okay.
But out of all four places, we're in agreement, we'd rather go to Dingle for the weekend.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the three, but Fishbox. Well, things are for me.
Dingle and Castlehaven are both coastal towns, so you know.
I do enjoy the coast, yeah.
One or the other. Lads, it's been a pleasure. We got through enough there, I think, on this week's episode of the Football Pod. We'll be back next Monday. The pod is brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsor of the Senior Club Hurling and Camogie Championships. Check out hashtag
the toughest for more.
James, good luck with the training all this week.
Thanks, Tom.
Paddy, I hope the rest of your week is quiet.
It's not. Yeah.
Busy man.
Yeah, it's all action, isn't it? Showbiz,
baby.
Yeah.
Be good, fellas. Been a pleasure. Talk soon.
See you, boys.